sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Good shooting, John. You're right on target.
I can put that boat to the bottom of the depths with one little finger. I'm John Krulinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation in a not-so-serious fashion, because
yes,
that's our favorite way of doing it.
We want to be not serious about that which is serious. Is that what you're saying?
No. What we want to say is we want to put comedy in it because there's no other way to get to this boring stuff
other than
making
thanks.
It funny. No.
Now, come on.
No, they are fascinating issues. They are fascinating subjects. And we study the small picture. We study the big picture. We study the Bible. We study science, creation, evolution.
Oh, yeah.
And where we came from, where we're going, why we're here. And there's all kinds of areas of supposed expertise and speculation into why we're here.
Yes, and today we're going to look at one of the brilliant minds of today. Wrestling with the question of why are we here?
Because that's really all he can wrestle with his entire being, because the rest of it's, unfortunately, he's in a wheelchair.
That would be Stephen Hawking, the great physicist and a very popular lecturist, and he doesn't even use his own voice now. He uses still this contraption that manufactures a voice, electronic voice.
You know, it's for a British man, he has Hawking, by the way, is the Lucasian professor of mathematics at the University of Cambridge and speaks with a voice synthesizer, and that voice synthesizer has an American accent. How brilliant.
It's American technology. I guess he just went with that accent, huh?
He said, and now he has a hard time changing it. He says, you know, if he would have gotten a French accent on his voice synthesizer, his wife would have divorced him. She sounds like a smart one. Anyway,
yeah, who's the smart one there?
Who's the smart one there? Anyway, I know he says he got used to hearing his voice like that. No, but Hawking has actually been making quite a few claims this last spring, early June, summer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little bit later in the summer now, but at the time of our recording, he was making news in Hong Kong. And he was talking at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, and he was saying things such as this: despite having some great successes, not everything is solved. We do not yet have a good theoretical understanding of the observation of the expansion of the universe, he told it. But, he says, without such understanding, we cannot be sure of the future of the universe. But he thinks that we pretty much are coming really close to understanding the origins and where we came from and all the details.
Which is Big Bang, right?
Big Bang, yeah.
He's a big believer in the Big Bang.
He is the promoter of Big Bang, and his specialty happens to be black holes, which would be a golfing story for another Sink the Beagle. But the whole point is that he is the founder of that science
and developed the theory of black holes.
And has been worldly renowned. Matter of fact, I believe it was about last fall we were sharing on Sink the Beagle where he just totally disrupted that whole system of thought by saying that things can escape a black hole. He used to think that nothing could escape a black hole, but he says, I was wrong, sorry. And everyone was all up in arms about that, but apparently not up in arms enough. But they don't like to invite him back to speak, so he's still got these speaking engagements. And he says that we need to somehow save the Earth.
Well, he's a very articulate speaker, a very brilliant man, actually fairly lighthearted himself when he comes to talking about such things. And I think he's quite interesting. And if you can follow with the reading in his book, though, you have plenty of IQ that you're packing.
Yeah,
because he does speak. Any physicist kind of tends to leave a lot of us behind. But also physicists like Stephen Hawking enter into that area where, shall we say, empiricism or age-old laboratory-type science tends to be left in the closet while they go and speculate on such things. And maybe that is just the nature of the beast of being a physicist, to imagine things and guess and speculate. But there's no question that physicists have had kind of free rein in some of these questions of origins, especially.
And he also seems to be, this lecture, he was kind of using his notoriety and stardom not only to speak speak to issues out of his discipline in some respects, but he also was even speaking to the idea, buying in the popular idea that he thinks that the Earth isn't long before it gets wiped out by some disaster.
Big kaboom.
The big kaboom in his mind.
Yeah.
And
maybe
we should probably start trying to get to outer space real soon, within 20 to 40 years. He hopes to have a colony on the moon and then a colony on Mars.
Ooh, that's cool.
As if they're going to take him along.
You'd
want to take
fun.
Someone who's pretty brainy if he's the ex-brain about the stars. You want to take him along, but...
Take his wife.
she's pretty smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. But he kind of crosses the line sometimes when he says, you know, he makes statements that really don't make sense in some sense. He added to his lecture, he ended his lecture by saying, we are getting closer to answering the age-old questions. And these are the ones that he is coming at from a scientific perspective, which is just like, duh. Mm-hmm. It's like, why are we here? And where did we come from?
Okay.
And astrobiology.
Think carefully about that term, listener.
Yeah, but no. But or astronomy. Astronomy has nothing to do with biology.
Okay.
So where we came from, they can maybe say, unless where we're looking at a geographic location in the universe, that would be the center of the Big Bang. That maybe what he's referring to.
Maybe right of center of the Big Bang. Maybe we were somewhere on the lower left-hand column of the tiny little thing that went, your atoms were over in that neck of the woods. That's all they really are going to come up with, and that's pretty much all that Stephen Hawking feels comfortable talking about, although Stephen Hawking, like Albert Einstein for that matter, doesn't completely disbelieve in the concept of God. He just doesn't have much room for him in the working universe.
No. God's not really working
sort
here.
Sort of off reading a newspaper or something while all this
is
going on.
And getting in the question of why we are here is somewhat amusing as well.
Mm-hmm.
He also went off, you know, Stan, in this article, talking about the role of religion. And he kind of takes the traditional scientific view. Matter of fact, back in 92.
That religion can't contribute anything to the discussion?
Yeah. Oh, back in 92, we had a big conference in Rome about the origin of the universe and stuff. And John Paul II made a declaration saying that they shouldn't study that question of how the universe came into being.
Mm-hmm.
That now you're getting into the area where God is there, and the Bible says God did it, so don't you guys talk about it. And yet he had already wrote a paper there.
Hawking had, yeah.
Yeah, for that. And he was kind of worried that they were going to get... he was looking over his shoulder to make sure that there was no inquisitors around.
Another Galileo experience, huh?
Yeah, that's what he was referring to.
And you know, the thing about that age-old thing, which we've talked about before and absolutely frosts me, to talk about it, is the concept that, the Christians of the day bought into the mythology of ancient Greece, and that's why they believed in the Ptolemaic Earth-centered universe concept. What they don't say is that's what the science was teaching in the day of Galileo and the church, and so the church was accepting the modern,
scientific.
At that time, science, and then he tried to build a case scripturally to support it. And when better science came along, of course, he looked like complete dummies and were made laughingstocks. In my opinion today is where the Christian church is at that same point. And in accepting Darwin and some of the popular beliefs of science of this day.
Many interpretations of liberal
scholarship.
Wait
till better science comes along, we'll look like idiots again.
Yeah, it'll make liberal church scholarship on the interpretation of Genesis and Revelation look like, you know, yesterday's novel.
Well, that's what Hawking, you know, Hawking will go there too a little.
We did like Hawking, though. The main reason why we're bringing him up is really kind of what he says about what he knows and what he doesn't know.
What doesn't he know?
Well, he was talking, he said he also has some unfulfilled ambitions.
Okay.
You know, were to find out what happens inside black holes. He doesn't really know.
Okay.
You know, how the universe began, we don't really know, but he thinks we're really close.
Okay.
And how the human race can survive the next 100 years. He doesn't think we're going to see. He puts our survival rate fairly short term, you know, and considering of billions of years, 100 years is not even a blink.
That's true.
But above all, he said,
did he say why?
Maybe he knows something we don't know.
Okay.
A dirty, rotten comet coming our way. No.
Something like that, I guess. A rock from the sky, I suppose.
Yeah, no, really, above all, though, he says he wants to understand women.
Well... Now he's talking about IQ off the scale and then some.
Yeah, if you figured that one out, give me a jingle, would you? Write a book, would you?
Write a book on that one.
How to Understand Women.
Somewhere up there in physics, I think, yeah.
You know, the irony is he's not new in that quest of understanding of why we exist, why we come from, and he's not new at introducing it in kind of in a humorous way. And that's what the wise man said.
And he's not the first person with a fair amount of IQ to ask that question. Here is the Solomon speaking from Proverbs 30, and this would be verse 18 and 19. It says, "There are three things which are too wonderful for me." Yes.
That means kind of really, really way out there.
Full of wonder. Yeah, full of uncertainty. Yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air. Well, he studied his science and tried to figure out, you know, lift and all those properties of eagle, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way of a serpent on a rock.
How does a snake get around a hot rock?
How does it do that? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Okay. And finally, the way of a man with a woman.
We just go brain dead and stupid.
We can't figure that one out either. Yeah.
He had a hard time. And you think that the guy with 900 wives would have figured that one out.
Maybe he had 900 failed experiments or something. I don't know.
Yeah, still batting zero. And now, smartest man in the world, still batting zero.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Hawking just showed that he does know something when he said that question.
That was the question.
There you go.
We give him credit for something.
We do.
Well, the reality is that... In honesty, the science knows that there are three, we've talked about before, three leaps of faith that evolution takes in their Big Bang, associating evolutionary processes with Big Bang theoretical physics.
Yes.
They're assuming that Big Bang supplies us the time they need in their long evolutionary time frame. Mm-hmm. But yet the Big Bang evolutionary theory is based on three leaps of faith: dark energy, dark matter, and expansion.
Yes.
Inflation, I should say.
Inflation, yes, which... It's a fancy way of saying it blew up faster than it is now blowing up or expanding faster.
It had a hiccup.
It had a hiccup at the beginning. And there's black energy and black matter that has not yet been discovered, but is assumed to have existed for everything
for
to
all
be
their mathematical formulas.
For all the numbers to work.
For all the numbers in Hawking's head to work. And that's where Hawking is a genius. I mean, he can sit there and think of these things in his mind without having to
do that.
He can't write them down with a pencil. He doesn't have that ability, but he, because of his disease.
And you know, ultimately, John, you know what the great factor is that they have for Big Bang that's pretty much what has driven all of this? That the universe appears to be expanding. And beyond that, they don't have a lot of other evidence for the Big Bang. It appears to be getting bigger. And beyond that, they're just simply winding back the clock, assuming at some point it was a tiny spot that got bigger.
Yeah, and all these assumptions are just that, based on assumptions that things are basically going the
same way they did.
They've
always
done. Though they have their hiccups in their assumptions, so to speak, to make their numbers work. So it's a question of faith.
They've done it with dinosaur evolution, with... Peter Jay Gould has come up with the hiccups of
Punkek.
Punkek, punctuated equilibrium. So
in other words, inflationary rates of evolutionary process in a small community,
sped up.
Biological community. Mm-hmm. Get a little isolated community, and they can do all kinds of inflations, maybe even produce little hobbits or something.
Well, the what all this illustrates really is that even the greatest minds today that do not rely on the Bible for a source of information and have only the great wisdom and knowledge of man to come up to base it, you know, the answers to questions they have on it, are going to come up with this, that we're simply here by accident, where there's nothing directed, where
he answered his question, why?
Accident, yeah.
There is no reason why. We're just happy little accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you aren't a happy little accident.
No, you're not.
And you're not, and therefore you can come and listen and hopefully laugh or whatever, another fine episode of
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile. From seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.